We're going to have to get excited. We're going to do some jumping jacks before we get into this. Now, before we get started reading in God's Word, if you would stand with me, let's bow together. Stretch your legs. Let the blood flow just a little bit. Let's bow together. Dear God, I come to you this evening, Lord, and I thank you so much for your Word. Thank you for what it means, Lord, as we dive into this one verse tonight. God, I just ask that you'll give us clarity, give us understanding, help us to understand how we ought to pray like this. And as we take the whole matter, the whole of this model prayer, Lord, that we will apply it to our lives, apply it to our prayer lives, Lord, that we may pray the way we ought to pray. Be with us in this service, invitation to follow, and as we go into the remainder of our week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. May be seated. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 11. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 11. We've been going down through here on the model prayer, going verse by verse, looking at the importance of how we ought to pray. The first thing, when we enter the place of prayer, we noticed, even before we get into how we should pray, is how we enter prayer. Right? How we enter prayer. We don't pray like the hypocrites are. We don't pray outwardly, but we pray inwardly. There should be an intimate time of prayer with God in which we get away from the world. We spend time with Him. We shouldn't use repetitions, but instead, we should pray honestly. Now, as we got into how we should pray, we notice the first thing as we go into our place of prayer, the first thing we should pray for, the first thing that we should pray is, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." So anyway, when we go into the first part of prayers, we enter prayer, it needs to be a prayer of praise. We need to have a time of lifting God up, understanding who we're talking to. That He is higher than us. The Bible says that the heavens are above the earth, so are His ways higher than our ways. We are praying to a big, big God, and we need to remember that. That He is hallowed, He is set apart, He is sacred. Hallowed be thy name. And then last week, we looked at how we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." To pray in the way that we ask for God's will to be done in our life, the same way it's done in heaven. To further His kingdom here on this earth, the way that we ought to. And then as we go into that next part, it leads in to our verse tonight, and it's only seven verses, so we shouldn't be too long here. In Here in verse 11 it says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Give us this day our daily bread. A very simple thing, but a very important thing. As we go into this place, we first pray, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," and then we ask for His kingdom to come, His will to be done in our life, the same as it is in heaven. And then we ask for His provision. "Give us this day our daily bread." Now I want us to understand that praying for God's provision, because when we're talking about bread, "Give us this day our daily bread," it's not just talking about bread, but it's talking about sustenance. You and I need certain things as we live this life. We need Him to provide for us. We need Him to open doors, to shut doors, to make our path straight. We need His provision. And I want us to notice how Jesus tells us to pray for His provision. He says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Now I want you to think about that. Why does He say, "Give us this day our daily bread"? Why would He not say, "Give us this week our daily bread"? Give us this month, or give us this year our daily bread, or give us this year the things that we need, our sustenance. But instead He says, "This day." Think there's any significance in that, "This day our daily bread"? I do. And in this very same chapter, Jesus elaborates on that. Skip down with me to verse number 25. Matthew chapter 6, same chapter, verse number 25. And you all have heard me preach on these verses and quote these verses. But in verse 25 it says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than raiment, and the body, the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, for they grow, for how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? And he says this, O ye of little faith. I want you to think about those verses. Because how many times do we spend our time thinking about these things? What we're going to eat, what we're going to put on, what we're going to wear, where we're going to go, how we're going to do things. Looking at all the stuff that we got to do, trying to juggle everything that we try to juggle. And Jesus says, just stop a minute. You spend all your time worrying about all of this, but I just want you to look around. Look at the birds. They don't gather into barns. They don't sow. They don't reap. But look how God provides for them. And look at the flowers. I know right now there's not much a prettier time in Kentucky. You've got the red buds blooming. You've got dogwoods that are starting to come out. You've got all of these beautiful flowers. God created them. He says not even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed like one of these. And he says, how much more? If God takes care of the birds and he takes care of the flowers, how much more do you think he's going to take care of us? Or how much more do you think he cares for the ones that he would go to a cross and he would die for and he would rise again for? How much more do you think he cares about us than he cares about those things? And still, they are provided for. And he says this, O ye of little faith. See, if we really trusted God, we wouldn't worry about all that stuff. If we really trusted Him, we really had faith, we really put all of our faith in Him, we wouldn't worry about what we're going to eat, what we're going to put on ourselves, what we're going to do. Now look at verse number 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? And I love this verse, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. I want you to think about that. He says, don't spend all your time worrying about all of those things, because that's the same things that the Gentiles seek, or the rest of the world seeks. Who is Jesus talking to? He's talking to the children of Israel here. Talking to the Jews. And the Jews were supposed to be a lighthouse to the rest of the world. This is a Sermon on the Mount that we're reading. And Jesus starts off the Sermon on the Mount giving the Beatitudes and telling them that ye are a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. Men don't light a candle and put it under a bushel. But you have been given light to show it to a lost world. And he says, you're out here seeking the same things that the rest of the world is seeking. There's no difference in you and the rest of the world. And the sad thing about it is, there was supposed to be. We're supposed to picture to a world what a nation could be like with God as their king. But they look like everybody else. Sound familiar a little bit? We can be the same way. We get so caught up in the same things the rest of the world gets caught up in. We better be careful. He says, after all these things do the Gentiles seek. And he says in verse 32, your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. You know, the Bible tells us that God knows what we have need of before we ever ask. Do you know that God knows what we need better than we know what we need? Sometimes we think we know what we need, and God's like, no, that's not what you need. That's not what I have planned for you. I got something totally different. I know you think you want that, but you really don't. I'm so thankful for places in my life just looking back at things that I thought that I wanted to have and He didn't give me, that now looking back, I'm thankful that He didn't. You look at this, and He says this in verse 33. Instead of seeking all these things, this is what He says. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, what did He say in the previous verse to this, over in verse 10 of the model prayer? Thy what? Kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And then it leads into, give us this day our daily bread. Jesus closes out that chapter, chapter 6, by saying, seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and what? All of these things God will take care of. If we are seeking His honor and His glory, we are soldiers that are working for Him. Is He not going to provide His soldiers for everything that they need to carry out the battle? Absolutely He will. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, I'll take care of your substance. I'll take care of what you need. And verse 34 really seals it up, and we'll close tonight. But He says this, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. And I love this verse. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I love that. Because how many times do you and I spend time thinking about tomorrow? I've been caught doing it today. I'm already thinking about all the things that I need to get done tomorrow. I'm already thinking about all the things that I need to get done before we go on this Africa trip on Thursday. I'm already trying to get everything lined up, get everything figured out, get all my ducks in a row, so to speak. And the Bible tells us, don't worry about all that. You have enough to worry about today. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know what that means? There's enough stuff for you to be focused on today to not be worrying about the stuff for tomorrow. Now, is it bad to make plans and things like that? I don't think so. But we better be careful that we don't spend all of our time. So many people spend all of their time looking to the future. Well, when I get there, I'll be happy. When I get through school, when I get to retirement, when I get then, I'll be happy. And that's something that Satan uses to keep us distracted. Though when I get there. Because all he keeps us doing is looking ahead instead of looking at what we have to do right now. Seeking His kingdom first. I don't care what you're doing. Whether you're in school, whether you're working a job, whether you're retired, you know what you need to do? Seek today His kingdom. Seek today what He would have you to do. Take no thought for the things of tomorrow. He says, the things of tomorrow will take thought of themselves. Focus on what we have today. And I think of how many missed opportunities I've missed focusing on the things of tomorrow. How many opportunities I've missed focusing on the things of tomorrow. And I believe that's why Jesus is teaching us to pray this way. Because this model prayer, this place where we get apart from God and we pray without any other distractions, but it's just me and Him and we have a time, just me and Him, that's not a weekly thing. It's not a monthly thing. It's definitely not a yearly thing. But you look at the way He's teaching us to pray, it's a daily thing. Paul says, I have to die daily. Not weekly, monthly, yearly. A lot of people get this confused. They get this confused because they come up after a message pricks their heart and they're convicted and they feel like they need to make a decision, and they're right, and they make a decision and they give their life to God. But now I've fell back again. Why? Because you can't just make a decision and then that's it. It's a decision we have to make every day. Because every day you wake up and you go and you put your feet on the ground, you step outside, temptation is going to be there. So a great thing to do would do what David does. And he says this a lot in the book of Psalms, that he would arise early and he would pray to God. Before we go into this day, before we look at all the things that we have to do and all the decisions that we're going to have to make, we need to spend some time aligning ourselves with God. Saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Having a time of praise. Have a time aligning ourselves with His will. Have a time of asking for His provision. And then next week we're going to look at asking for forgiveness. We need that as well. But I want you to think about this as we go forward. As we go into our week. Let's take it day by day. Take it day by day. It's easy to get overwhelmed if you look out into the future. Take it day by day and walk with Him today. And then tomorrow, make a decision to walk with Him today. It's the way He lays it out for us to do. Let's all stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Dear Lord, I come to You tonight, Lord, and I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for what it means as we look at this way that we ought to pray. Lord, help us to not get so caught up in the things of tomorrow that we forget the opportunities today. Lord, help us to stay focused, taking it day by day, taking it minute by minute and hour by hour, that we will stay focused on You and not on all the things that we need to get done. Be with us in this invitation time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.